It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. School resource officers, or SROs, in Louisville, Kentucky, might be a thing of the past. Researchers seem to be indicating that police officers in schools don't guarantee a safer school environment.
For someone to suggest that SROs prevent school shootings is absolutely unfounded in terms of science. There's no support for that statement at all.
We'll have that story coming up. Stay with us. This is West Virginia Morning. Astronomers using the Green Bank Telescope in Pocahontas County have discovered a record-size, massive neutron star, one of the densest objects in the universe. Roxy Todd reports.
Scientists believe this is the largest neutron star ever discovered. Neutron stars, sometimes also called pulsars, are the compressed remains of stars that have exploded into a supernova. Supernovas happen when stars reach the end of their life and explode into a powerful burst of light and energy. Neutron stars are one of the most dense objects in the universe, second only to black holes. But little else is known about the interior of one of these stars. Just a single sugar cube worth of neutron star material would weigh 100 million tons on Earth. That's about the same as the entire human population. The recently discovered star is about 4,600 light years from Earth. According to a press release from the Green Bank Observatory, this neutron star approaches, quote, the limits of how massive and compact a single object can become without crushing itself down into a black hole. Astronomers at the West Virginia Telescope plan to continue studying this particular neutron star and what it might reveal about the nature of space-time. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd.
Shepherd University's campus library is home to the largest solar panel installation on a nonprofit in West Virginia. As Liz McCormick reports, the staff who pushed for the installation are hopeful the achievement will inspire more organizations and homeowners in the state to turn to solar.
So you're looking at 189 panels, and it's the array is spread out over two parts of the roof here, about half over there and half over here.
Up on the flat rooftop of Shepherd University's Scarborough Library are more than 180 solar panels. That voice you just heard is Jeff Groff. He's an associate professor of physics at Shepherd, and he's the chairman of the Department of Environmental and Physical Sciences. It's a bright, sunny afternoon up on the roof, and Groff says at this moment, those more than 180 solar panels are producing more than 50 kilowatts of power.
Let's put that in perspective. 50 kilowatts, that's like 50 microwave ovens running simultaneously.
Groff says in total, the solar array on Shepherd's library will generate an estimated 67,000 kilowatt hours of power a year. That means the panels will generate about 10% of the library's annual energy consumption. Groff says that's enough energy to power nearly 7 average American homes for a year. Groff says, though, these are just estimates, and it will take some time to know the full impact and monetary savings. But the library estimates it will save at least $120,000 over the panel's 20-year lifetime. The large solar installation took 3 weeks to install, and is thanks to a $100,000 grant from a Massachusetts-based company called EBSCO Information Services.
And I thought, why not try to apply for this? It seemed like there was nothing to lose.
That's Rachel Halley. Getting the solar panels was her idea. Halley is the coordinator of collections at the Scarborough Library. She learned about the grant after receiving an email from the EBSCO company. This particular grant is only for libraries that want to install solar.
This state has such a strong culture of coal and other extractive sources of energy. So to bring this forward and to get people excited and interested in solar, it's a wonderful way for us to promote renewable energy within our community.
Halley and Groff worked together to write and apply for the grant. Groff says the installation won't just save the library money, but it also creates a tool he can use in his classroom.
One of the concepts I like to get across to students is just the idea about how much energy we actually consume, the vast quantities of energy we consume. So when you have some energy production that's local and hear and you can monitor it, it really drives home the point about how much energy that we are consuming.
The solar panels on Shepherd's Library were installed by a West Virginia company called Solar Holler. Founded in 2013, this company of 40 employees is one of the first solar installation companies in the state. It's headquartered in Shepherdstown, but has a larger office in Huntington. Solar Holler builds and installs the panels, and they offer financing options. Dan Conant is the founder and CEO. He founded the company to give people more options when it comes to their electricity.
People have never had a choice in West Virginia. They've always been locked into one single utility that they had no say over. They have no say over what the rates are or what they pay. And all of a sudden, here along comes solar, which is giving them an option to lock in their utility bills to protect themselves from rate increases year after year.
For most people, solar doesn't replace your normal utility bill, just helps to reduce the amount of electricity you pay for from your local electric or natural gas company. Conant says while homeowners and businesses have access to a federal tax credit for 30% of the cost of their solar panels, nonprofits like Shepherd's Library don't. That's why the grant was so important. On the state level here in West Virginia, there are no incentives for homeowners, businesses, or anyone to go solar. But this doesn't discourage Conant. He says despite the lack of incentives, solar is growing in West Virginia.
Solar's cheaper. And as a result, I think the industry is going to continue to grow for the foreseeable future as more and more folks understand that.
Conant says so far in 2019, his company has worked with 200 families in West Virginia to install solar. Since Solar Holler was founded 6 years ago, he says the number of their projects in West Virginia has increased every year. And Conant says many of their installations are in the southern part of the state. According to the nonprofit Solar Foundation, in 2018, solar installation was up 17% in West Virginia. But nationwide, the state is ranked 49th in installed solar capacity. Hallie at Shepherd's Campus Library says she hopes their solar installation demonstrates that solar is possible in West Virginia.
We're probably not going to stay the largest nonprofit installation for long, and I think that's a good thing. So I hope that it kind of has a snowball effect where people hear that we were able to do this, learn about how we did it, and then hopefully try to figure out their own path to get more installations up.
She hopes more homeowners and businesses recognize the cost-saving opportunities offered through solar, and she encourages folks to seek out their options if they want to install their own panels. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Some areas of lingering fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny. High temperatures in the 70s and 80s, mostly clear overnight with lows in the 50s and 60s, and sunshine again tomorrow with highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Yeager Airport, CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at YeagerAirport.com. While the rest of the country might be trying to figure out how to get more police officers into schools to help reduce the risk of school shootings, Louisville just did the opposite. Last year, 30 officers were patrolling the hallways. This year, zero. WFPL's Liz Schlimmer has more on the reactions to this controversial decision.
Students hop off buses and out of their parents' cars and pour into Marion C. Moore School on the first day of class.
This way, my dear. Just follow the crowd. How are you this morning?
Katrina Thompson is one of many school staff greeting students, but the school resource officer, a sworn police officer who has served in the school, is notably missing from the scene, here and at all JCPS middle and high schools. Over the summer, the Louisville Metro Police Department pulled its 17 officers who had served in schools due to city budget cuts. Then in a split vote, the school board decided not to renew the contracts of its remaining 11 officers. That's causing mixed reactions in Louisville. Brian Barriga heard the news as he was dropping off his daughter.
No school's going to have cops now or anything? So what, is teachers allowed to carry now? No? Wow, this is crazy.
Others are for the move, and some are just a little uneasy.
It makes me feel more safe knowing that there was a police officer on staff.
That's Tiffany Redman, who dropped off her nephew at Moore.
I feel that it's definitely a safety issue for the children, being that there are more school shootings now more than ever.
School shootings are actually rare, and technically, they're becoming less frequent. But horrific rampage-style shootings like the one in Parkland, Florida, scare any parent. But do SROs make schools safer in the event of a school shooting?
That's kind of the million-dollar question, and specifically about school shootings, we don't know a whole lot.
That's Tom Mowen, a criminal justice researcher at Ohio's Bowling Green State University, who studies school resource officers. He's currently studying whether SROs lower deaths and injuries when a school shooting happens. His paper is not yet published while it goes under peer review, but the results don't look great for SROs. And he does know one thing.
For someone to suggest that SROs prevent school shootings is absolutely unfounded in terms of science. There's no support for that statement at all.
He says that's important for policymakers to know when they decide how to address school shootings.
The knee-jerk reaction is to put police in schools, and yet we don't question whether or not that is achieving our goal. We just assume that it does. And there's this mounting body of evidence that shows that SROs are really associated with this long list of negative outcomes.
Negative outcomes like students feeling less safe or instances of police misconduct and increases in student arrests for problems that used to be dealt with in school. Certainly, some SROs have great relationships with students and have done heroic things to protect kids. But studies show that's not the whole picture for every student. Here's JCPS board member Corey Scholl, who voted against renewing SRO contracts.
We definitely care about the safety of all students, but we also recognize that depending on the community that you come from, depending on your ethnicity, your engagement with police may be different.
He points to research and local data from JCPS that show disproportionate rates of arrest of minority students when SROs are present.
Especially for Black youth and LGBTQ youth and special needs youth. Those children deserve to be comfortable in school.
Cassa Heron agrees. She's a mother of two middle schoolers. She's Black and lives in Smoketown.
Having LMPD out of the schools is a win for me. I would rather them be walking my neighborhood.
Scholl isn't entirely against having police in schools, but he wants them to be specially trained and to answer to JCPS. That's another reason he opposed the contracts with suburban police departments.
No one should work with our students that are not ultimately accountable to the school board and to the superintendent.
Superintendent Marty Polio has presented plans to create an internal security force, but the first step in a proposal to get up to 40 SROs in the district was to renew those contracts. Scholl says he felt that was a piecemeal effort to get to the final goal. The school district still has security measures. Many schools, including Moore, have security guards, and the district is repurposing night guards to patrol outside schools during the day. Ben Fisher, a criminal justice researcher at U of L, says that might be a good idea.
One principal that I spoke with said even if they lost their SRO, if they still had the patrol car parked out front, they would feel good in terms of a deterrent effect.
What do kids think? While I didn't do a formal poll, the students I talked to at Marion C. Moore School seemed unsure, but less concerned than parents. Here are Niecy Webster and Karma Mason, who say they think security guards will be enough to protect the school's 2,000 students.
We might need a lot of security, because there's a lot of fights. But I think we should be good, though. What you think?
I think we should be fine without the police. I think we're going to be fine without it.
Superintendent Polio is still pursuing plans to develop a specially trained security force who will report directly to the district. A JCPS spokesperson says those plans may materialize this school year. I'm Liz Schlemmer in Louisville.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.